Thank you, Pastor Tomlinson. It's it's a privilege once again to be here in God's house to worship Him and to speak about His Word and to worship Him. And tonight's message is really relevant for any church, and it's relevant for our church. It's really serving, but how are we serving? How are we preparing to serve and ministering to one another? And, of course, we know our great God and Savior. He is the minister of all ministers. But before we begin, let us call upon the name of the Lord and ask His blessing, as always. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we thank You once again that we can be here tonight and to worship You in spirit and in truth. And, Lord, we pray that we may learn about You more and more and Your great servanthood. And You came to give Your life a ransom for many. And You did not consider Yourself. And yet you put Yourself in the back of the line and way in the back of the line. You actually died for us, and we thank You for that, Lord. And You gave Your life as the biggest service of all. Lord, we just pray that You would open up Your Word and that You would be glorified through Your power and Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So really serving Him with His love and glory. And, it is relevant to us here tonight about us true service. And we are to minister to one another. We are to minister to one another. And not to merely serve or minister is not enough. Not just to have it like on our list. Not just to serve. Oh, I got to go serve today. That's not enough. And we should have a heart cry, a heart's desire for one another, to love one another, and to glorify God in that. And we're going to learn that it's an agape love, and love begins with love Himself. Who is love? 1 John 4:8 says, "He who does not love does not know God, for what? God is love. God is love." And of course, this is manifested in His Son. The Son of His love. And that love in our lives transforms into glorifying Him in our lives. And He gives us the gifts to do so that we may minister to one another for His glory. The first point tonight is really is serving one another in love. And, we need to watch and pray. Look at verse 7. Let's read verses 7 and 8 again. "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Be watchful in your prayers. Serving in love starts with watching and praying for one another, looking out for one another, and being on the guard and watching. And focusing on what is critical in the life of the church is what God holds dear. God holds dear the Son of His love, but that we are in His Son, and He holds us dear. So we should hold one another dear and serve and minister to one another. We are His treasure because of Christ's sacrifice. And so we're to watch out and to be watchful. And it really does mean to be sober and to be serious. We're to be sober and serious in serving. And we are our brother's keeper, our sister's keeper. Peter says here that the end of all things is at hand in verse 7. And what is more important than God's word and each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? Why would we want to not serve one another? Or why would we want to talk about what color to paint the kitchen if the house may be burning down? Prayer. It's so important to have prayer. I can't emphasize it enough. Prayer. Prayer, prayer, praying for one another. This is a part of love, is praying for one another. And truly praying, My wife was, she reminded me when I was talking to her about this, was in the missions director that we knew and we both worked with, and we were kind of assistant directors with him. And as, I think it was one of our children being born, and he goes, I'm going to pray for you. But then he says, since I said that, I better mean what I say. And that stuck with my wife for years and still does to this day. We better mean what we say when we're going to pray for one another. We need to mean it and to truly pray for one another, not just say it. It's so easy to say it. I'm guilty of it all the time. I say, oh, I'm going to pray for you. And then sometimes I forget. And so we need to truly pray. And we can easily neglect the most important part in our spiritual walk with the Lord and watchful praying and to serve those around us in love, those outside the church and those within. We need to pray for those outside of the church as well, but also, of course, our brothers and sisters, especially of those of the household of faith. And praying is neglected. It's truly neglected. And as the people of God, we need to always be watching and praying. And this is our preface to love one another. Before really we come together and gather together, we need to be praying for one another and praying in any capacity of ministry, whether it's whatever our gift is, however we're serving. It's relevant, and making it my own here is that E.M. Bounds, he says, the superficial results of many a ministry, the deadness of others, are to be found in the lack of praying. We don't want to be found in deadness. We want to be praying. We want to be a praying church. No ministry or life of the church can succeed and be sustained without much praying. We have to be much in prayer. And this praying must be fundamental, ever abiding, ever increasing, not fading off. And we gain so much energy from prayer. How many times do I feel so rejuvenated after Wednesday nights? I feel so refreshed. And in a personal prayer, if I'm truly communing with God, how many times we feel so much more energized because he gives us that energy and having that life of prayer, not a mechanical praying, not just checklisting it off and saying, I'm going to pray and I got to go through my list, but to truly pray and commune with God if we are to have love. But so after prayer, God, through Peter, he says here in verse 8, he says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. For love will cover a multitude of sins. You know, God through Peter magnifies love above all. He magnifies love. He says, above all love. It's agape love. So what is agape love? We hear that term. We hear agape. What is agape? But it's really the specific brotherly love of Christ, really toward us, because of Christ, who Christ is and what he has done as he went to the cross and he gave himself for us. That is the love, the giving love, that laying his life down. And then it's passed on to us. As we celebrated the Lord's Supper this morning, we are to celebrate his love and what he's done for us. It's a feast of love because of who he is and what he has done. And we celebrate the Lord himself. We celebrate him. And that's what it's about, is celebrating him as a result of his great love. And we pass that on to one another. And it's truly affection or benevolence and, dear love. You know, now faith and hope are important to God, but our God is concerned with love. And if we have love, as 1 Corinthians 13 says in the beginning, if you'd like to just turn there, I don't think it's in the notes, I kind of added it later, but 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3, I'll try to get through it quickly. You know, we can really do all these wonderful things. We can do all these amazing things. And you know, God gets concerned with, he's concerned with these things. He's concerned with faith and hope, but love is really the most important to him. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, it says there, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not agape, have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, that's pretty much the most we can do. If I just were to give my body to be burned and say, here, take it. But if I don't have love, if I don't have Christ, it profits me nothing and I am nothing. And love is the greatest attribute of God, if you will. Love is what came down to save us. Love. And love is who Christ is. Love is what he wants us to serve one another with in that same kind of way. It's not easy. But if you look down, if you're in 1 Corinthians 13, if you look down with me to verse 13, it says, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But, you know, in our text, it says, above all, love. Here it says, but the greatest of these is love, is love, is love. You see, above all, love. And this is what our Lord is concerned with. Love is what God desires most for us toward one another, because it is love, agape love, that caused our Lord Jesus to come down again. And we are to truly lay down our lives for one another. And yet, why is that so difficult? Why is that so complicated? Why do we often fuss at each other? Why is it that we do not always take it to heart? You know, because, it gets back to prayer, because we do not watch and pray. We do not watch and pray and guard our hearts with his love. We need to guard our hearts. We need to be watchful for others as well. It gets back to prayer and love. So, question, again, I've already said it, but it's good to reemphasize, is that how does the Lord Jesus Christ love us? How does he love us? How did he love us? It says here in our text that it's intentional love. Have fervent, that it's an intentional love that he gives us for one another. But also, he shows us his agape love when he died for us on the cross. He saved us from so great a death. And if you're listening out there, or if you do not know him in your heart, he has such great love, agape love towards sinners. You know, and the question is, did Jesus die for good, wholesome, wonderful, sweet people with a propensity to be Mr. Rogers? You know, I like Mr. Rogers, but did he come for only those who are like him? And of course, no. If you look with me to Romans 5, verse 8, as you're turning there, he came for the worst of the worst. He came for sinners, those who you would never think that would become saved, those who are lost, those who need a physician, those who are sick, those who are condemned to hell and know it because of their sin. Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his love toward us. It's intentional. You see that? Toward us. It's intentional. Into us. It's toward us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died. Isn't that beautiful? He died for sinners. He didn't die for good people. He died for sinners. You see, this is what it's all about. This is what his love is all about. The love of Christ, the agape love of Christ. And you see what he intentionally did for us. It was a substitutionary death, the just for the unjust. He died for sinners. And this is love. There's no greater way to express it except what Romans 5:8 just said. This is love. This is the gospel. And And again, I can only speak of myself, but we all are, but I'm hell deserving. I'm ill deserving. I'm a rotten scoundrel by nature. And yet, but look what he did for me and you. He demonstrated his love toward into to us. The good news is that he came to call sinners to repentance, and then we become his friends. In John 15, 13, if you'd like to turn quickly there, John 15, 13, we become his friends because of his great love. John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, same love, agape love, greater love has no one than this than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's us. That's what we're supposed to be with one another. I'm to lay down my life for you. You're to lay down your life for me. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but we're to lay down our lives for one another. And that's what we're to do. What's our take-home message? What are we to take home from this? What's our action toward our friends? And verse 8, just going back to verse 8 in 1 Peter, if you go back to 1 Peter, and above all things have fervent love for one another, for one another, for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. It'll cover a multitude of sins. And our verse 8 here says, intentionally, as we should others. And God, through Peter here, says that love covers a multitude of sins. And we are to love each other as Christ loved us. We are not to hold grudges. Is that giving yourself for one another? We are not to hold on to hurt and bitterness. Is that loving as Christ loved? But it's the opposite. Love toward as Christ loved toward us. We're to love toward to others. And of course, this is Peter quoting from the Proverbs and talking, you know, that as a part of the fervency toward one another, we are to cover others' sins in the sense we don't throw it in their face. We don't throw their sins in their face to them. Realizing that Jesus Christ died for my sins personally, and not to worry about what others have done to me, not to take it personal. In that forgiveness, we demonstrate Christ in us, the hope of glory. We demonstrate his love. Also realizing that I have done the very same thing to them, and if not, I could very easily do it. Having that in mind when we're interacting with one another. Because I'm only a sinner saved by grace. How about you? We're just sinners saved by grace. And Christ, through my sins, behind his back, He separated my iniquities as far as the east is from the west. That's forever. And that's how we're to love each other, that same agape love, this way. And where love abounds in a fellowship of Christians, many small offenses and even some large ones are readily overlooked and forgotten. But where love is lacking, every word is viewed with suspicion. Every action is liable to misunderstanding and conflicts about to Satan's perverse delight. So we really need to have love to one another. Not only does Peter stop there, we might think that this is enough, that we are to cover for one another, not nitpick, not point out each other's faults, mistakes, and sins. But the adjective here that he furthermore points out to us is fervency, to be stretched out to one another. We're to be stretched out to one another. And it's constant to one another. It's not just sometimes when I feel like it. It's stretched out. The fervency, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When you're fervently praying, you're stretching yourself out to God. If I'm fervently loving you, I'm stretching myself out to you. And that's what it means. It means to be stretched out. And it's constant. It's a constant stretched out. It's like, okay, it's almost like I'm going to fall down before you so you can trample over me if you want because I'm so stretched out. And it's perpetual also toward one another. It's without ceasing, and it's perpetual. But verse 8 also, you know, it's just so beautiful. Just, I want to read it again. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So it's beautiful. But finally, on this point of love, this love results in reciprocal hospitality. You know, verse 9 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And this is it's reciprocal. It's a constant, you know, constant like hospitality. We're constantly, it's a constant like infinity. It's not, it doesn't end. We're constantly treating each other this way. And it's not entertaining. And of course, we're not grumbling about it. But entertaining is not hospitality. And we are to continually, reciprocally, perpetually, naturally, no checklist, be hospitable. So what makes our church show that we love Jesus? What differentiates us from the world? What, when the people look at us, what do they see? Who do they see? And you know, what makes our church show? That's a good question for us. What makes our church show that we love Jesus? Do they see that we're hospitable to one another? Are we showing true love, the agape love, stretching out fervently to one another? And are we the hospitable nature? Yeah, Brother Victor and Darlene and Sister Darlene had us over the other night, and it was true hospitality, and thank you for that. That was awesome. You could have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and be hospitable. Victor and Darlene didn't serve those. Yeah, next time sounds good. You could just have the minimum and be hospitable. It's how we treat one another and how we're treating each other as the king's guest, whether it's in our home or within church, these four walls. And some of the most hospitable Christian homes I've ever been in were in India when I was there. And so they were some of the poorest people, and they'd invite you into your home and they put this meager meal before you. But the love that you felt as fellow Christians, man, it just blew you away. It just blew you away. It was like, wow, this is where love is. This is in their home. And it was like their church too. It was like, this is love, because they were hospitable to one another and they were being hospitable to us, treating us as the king's guest. And that's how we're to treat one another. And it's natural, not even thinking about it constantly. That's to the point where, and it starts with prayer, remember. That's where we want to be, is it has become so natural for us to be hospitable to one another, and where it's just a constant, whether we're here or home, wherever. You know, there's kind of a corny 70s Christian song that almost sounds like an Indian chant, but it's so true nonetheless. And it says, and you will know that they are Christians by his love, and then it kind of goes on, and it almost sounds like you can start doing a dance, right? And you'll know that we are Christians by our love, but it's so true. You'll know that we are Christians by our love. People will know that we're Christians by our love. We'll experience it deeper and richer within our congregation with that love. It's already here, but as we grow even more and as we demonstrate it more, Christ's love. But next, as serving one another for his glory. And verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Minister it to one another. We're to minister the gift. We need to minister our gifts by his grace. We received our gifts, or, you know, if it's a gift or gifts, by grace. With that in mind, we are to minister it to others, realizing that whatever I have, it is only the grace of God. If I have a certain gift, I look out here and I see everyone has different gifts and multiple gifts. I think it's awesome. And it's only the grace of God. And, you know, some people might say, oh, my gift, I'm ministering. There's no way that anyone can say, look, I'm just gifted of myself. And by the way, you have to appreciate my gift because I'm so great, there's a big problem there if it starts to reflect on ourselves and it's about me. It becomes no longer serving one another if it's about me, because it's about grace. You see, we receive the gift. We receive the gift. And we are to minister it. We're to give it away. We receive the gift to give. It's not something we hold on to. And so we need to be stewards. We need to be stewards of that gift. And as it says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, in verse 10, we are to be stewards. And this should blow us away, that God would give us to manage the gift that he gave, to minister the grace of God. We're stewards of the grace of God when we are ministering our gifts. And we're to be managers of it. And that just blows me away. How can this be? How can we even imagine such a thing? You mean to say that the very thing that is a gift that we don't deserve, we are to carefully steward and manage? Wow, no way. Me, you, the same sinners that we just got done talking about, that Jesus has saved, we really need to be thinking of his glory in this and how we can glorify him in this, the undeserved privilege. And of course, this should cause great praise, thankfulness as we give him the glory and sing with grace in our hearts. And if you'd like to turn to Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17, Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17, but have you ever thought that we serve one another, be hospitable to one another, teach one another, admonish one another, and use all of our gifts with one another as we gather, sing, pray? And we're ministering to one another right now as we're here, you know, hearing the word of God preached. And you're by you being here, you're ministering to me. I appreciate you here. That's such a blessing. And so right now we are ministering to one another. Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're talking about grace here because we're the stewards of the manifold grace of God, and we're to sing with grace in our hearts. And when you're singing up here, choir, when we're singing in the congregation, and we're all one worship team, so to speak, as was said this morning, we are singing with grace in our hearts. And so to the Lord, and we're ministering to one another and giving him the glory. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, being thankful, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. But next, also, if you look at Matthew 20, verse 28, our Lord Jesus Christ ministers to us intentionally. We learn that he loves us intentionally, but he also ministers to us intentionally. He is, of course, more than an example to us, but is our great example of how we should minister to one another. It gets back to agape love, ministering with love, giving of ourselves as he did. But what did he do? Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He did not come to be served, but to serve. Intentionally putting yourself last. Intentionally putting yourself at the back of the line. But he did it in so great a way. And it says, and to give his life a ransom for many. That's where service and love collide right here. Or they come together, they converge. That just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He served in loving. He loved in serving. This is so awesome. I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served. We're not to be served. We're not to expect to come here and be served. We are to serve one another, become a slave to one another. And that's what that means. And sometimes pride can get in the way. But to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We're to give each other's life for one another. So he ministers to us. He did not come to be served. Just as He loved us intentionally. He has ministered to us intentionally. And how, the question is, how much do we serve in this way toward one another? How much do we do this? True ministry is hard. True ministry is difficult. True ministry does not elevate itself. And true ministry does not seek recognition. A big question we should sometimes ask ourselves is, why am I doing this? Why am I serving? Why am I doing it in this kind of way? Why? What is my motivation of my heart? And one look at Christ should reflect our answer. We should look at him, that look what he did. He didn't come to be served, but he served and gave his life a ransom for many. The supreme test of service is this: for whom am I doing this? Much that we call service to Christ is not such at all. If we're doing this for Christ, we shall not care for human reward or even recognition. Our work must again be tested by these three propositions. Is it work from God as given to us to do from him? Is the work for God as finding in him its secret of power? And thirdly, is the work with God in which we engage as co-workers with him? This leads really to our next point. We need his ability. We really need his ability. So it's verse 11 goes and says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. It's his ability. It's his ability. And so we minister our gift with his ability. We can truly say, without him, I am nothing and I can't do anything. Without him, I am nothing. Except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain who build it. We must have his ability. We must have his supplied ability, as it says. And yes, we need his grace, but we need his ability. He is able. He is able to do exceedingly above all that I ask or think, that we ask or think, to what? According to the power that what? Works in us. According to his power. His ability. And it's with his ability. If you'd like to turn with me to Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, he does not give us different gifts, and they are according to he gives us all different gifts, and they're according to his grace. It's important to note that the right kind of diversity is good, God's diversity. And today, that's a tarnished word, but God's diversity is his gifts and serving one another by his grace. In Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, lest let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You know, all these things are his ability within us. All these things he gives. These are according to his grace that is given to us. And some of us have multiple gifts, and some of us have a couple. And we may only have one, but it's okay because it's his ability within us. So we need to minister our gift for his glory. Reading verse 11 again. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We do these things for that purpose. We seek to glorify him alone. You know, why are we here? What is our purpose? We don't hold to it because it's Presbyterian, but I believe we hold to what is said here in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Question one says, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end, answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's the chief end of man. We're to glorify him. And we're to use our gifts to glorify him. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So as we're serving one another in love, and we're prayerfully watching for one another and serving one another in love, then we are doing that to his glory. You know, has God saved us to simply say, hey, man, I'm saved. I'm doing okay. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay. Just leave me alone, man. No, we're not to be in an island to ourselves. No. We're not to be solo Christians or renegades. We're to glorify him. You know, the world's mantra, as Frank Sinatra's song puts it, I did it my way. That's not our mantra. And some Christians might think, I did it his way. I did it his way. And Glenn Campbell put it, only Jesus and me, but none of those things. And that might sound commendable, but how about we did it his way? We did it his way. And that's what it's about. This glorifies him. Part of why he has saved us to serve one another, not just doing things, not just to see how much we can do, not to beat our chest and outdo one another. That's not what it's about. But it's because we need one another as we minister to each other. But in closing, our gifts are not meant to hide or to hold on to. And let us rejoice that we have received the gift or gifts to serve one another. If we're Christ, we are his servants, just as he is and he was. Ministering is attending to the needs of others. It's not about self. Let us love one another as we serve one another. This glorifies his holy name. And we can accomplish this as we gather together and stir each other's hearts as we do it his way. In the spirit of ministering to one another, loving one another by his grace and glory. You know, Peter said in verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. And I think a fitting closing verse is Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25. Because it really, as we come together, we can exhort one another in these things. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, because the end of all things is at hand, right? And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much more we need to be together and to gather together so we can love one another and serve one another. And may God be glorified in this. May his love, his agape love, be our serving orders, if you will. Let me close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we thank you for your love, your great love to us, toward us. May we turn that around to others and demonstrate that love to others. And we thank you that you saved such great sinners, and that we can glorify your name and be your servants, Lord. We thank you for all that you have done and that what you're going to do. We just bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.